Good morning, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. We welcome you from the city of brotherly love right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. We are so happy you decided to join us, whether in person in the sanctuary or via YouTube or Facebook. We bless the Lord this morning. The word tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on this morning, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, ye, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you this morning, God. Thank you for raising us up this morning, God. Thank you for the ability to give you glory this morning, God. We just bless your name. We bless your name. We just bless your name this morning, Lord. We thank you for all things this morning, God. Oh, isn't it a beautiful Sunday morning, liquid sunshine. We're excited. We're headed to St. Mark this afternoon at 2:30 to fellowship with our own Pastor Daryl Scott and First Lady Rochelle Scott, and we look forward to it this afternoon. Amen. So if you're not busy, please join us there. Amen. 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 Hey, let us go to the Holy Scripture. This morning, we're going to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. As is our custom, I ask you to come stand to your feet as we go to God's holy word. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I'm going to read from the New King James for your hearing this morning. Amen. Our citizenship in heaven, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy, holy, holy word. Amen. 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 This morning. Amen. Let us go to the throne of grace. Most holy and wise Father, Lord, we give you glory this morning, Lord. We lift your name up this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, God. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you or praise your holy name enough, God. We lift you up, God. We give you glory this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, for every door in your house that's open this morning, God. Let your presence rain down on us, God. Let it fall like the fresh morning dew on us, God, this morning. Fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Yes, God, fill us with your holy presence, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning, God. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, Lord, because it's due, God, because you're worthy this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, rain down on this city, rain down on this nation, God. We stand in the need of you in the name of Jesus, God. Protect our children, God. Encompass them, Father. In the name of Jesus, walk through the halls of government, God. In the name of Jesus, prick their hearts, God, that they have to turn their face to you, God. In the name of Jesus, govern properly and rightly, God, in a godly fashion, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you this morning to bless the speaker of the hour, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, God. Fill him, God. Fill him with your Holy Spirit for the word he's going to bring to us this morning, Lord. A word that's going to lift you up, God. A word that's going to break bonds this morning, God. A word that's going to relieve pain and suffering this morning, God. We give you glory for your word this morning, God, because we know, God, that your word will never return void, God. We know that heaven and earth shall pass away, God, but your word will stand for all eternity, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We give you glory this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah this morning, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Let it marinate down on the inside, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Let your word, Lord, it cuts like a two-edged sword, God. Yes, God, through the joint, through the marrow, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we know, God, it's all for our good, God, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you this morning. We just give you glory this morning. We lift you up this morning. We give you honor and praise this morning, God. We just thank you. We just thank you, God. We just thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, God. This thing is personal, Lord. It's personal, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for how you bought us. Thank you, God, for how you keep us, God. Thank you for the doors you've opened, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the doors you closed that were for our good, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, God. Comfort us, Father. Yes, God, in our darkest hours, God. We know it's you that sustains us, Father. Oh, we bless your name this morning. We bless your name this morning. Oh, in the precious, mighty, and holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen again. You may be seated in this house this morning. Amen. 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 Hey, this morning we have a dynamic speaker on the way. Amen. One of our own sons this morning. He is going to bring us the word of God. This young man, yes, this young man, so blessed by God. Amen, amen. Our own brother Khalil McFarland is going to bring us the morning message. Amen. Stand to your feet. That's all. Our right hand to brother McFarland. God bless brother Khalil. God bless brother Khalil. You know what? Y'all don't sound like y'all giving him a blessing this morning. God bless brother Khalil. God bless brother Khalil. God bless brother Khalil. Real good.
Morning, church. How's everyone doing this lovely morning? Thank God to be in the house one more time. Especially me. I don't get to make it down as much as Tabernacle, but I love when I come down here because I know it's going to be filled with nothing but God and the Holy Spirit, which is what I love. My sermon this week is, or this Sunday, is actually really, 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 really short. It's just one scripture that I'm breaking down. You guys are going to love me. Normally, I got like 7 or 9. 13, I'm not as bad as pastor. I don't pull 25 out. I keep myself around 6. But I was praying this week on what to speak on, when pastor gave me the phone call, and I couldn't really find a message, and I just kept praying and praying, and I just kept saying, God, you gotta give me something, right? Like I need something to go up here if I'm gonna do this. As I kept praying and praying, my spirit just kept saying prayer, prayer. Prayer is what I want you to speak on. And I said, okay, well, what kind of prayer? You know, like I need specifics if I'm going to do something. But I think that's when I needed to sit down and do my own research and homework to figure it out further than that. And I kept getting drawn to this one scripture. And this is why it's this one scripture. And it's in Acts chapter 4. I need to scroll down for it. I'm sorry here. So the text says, And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And that was the scripture that really spoke to me. And I said, I think that's what I'm going to preach on. And I said, this Holy Spirit guide me as I build this sermon for the people of God. May they receive what you want them to receive and not what I think that they should receive. And I pray that prayer. And I'm going to pray again here before I jump into the text. So please join me in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, O God. I come before you to do an assignment, God, an assignment that I hope pleases you, God, and with your blessing, God. I ask that you give me the words to speak, God, and make less of me and more of you, God. May you bless your people and speak to your people this morning, God, and only use me as a vessel, God. May no one leave this house with the statement of what a wonderful word he preached, God, but may they leave this place with the words of what a wonderful word God spoke to me this morning, God. God, I pray this prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is something that we often overlook as Christians, right? A lot of us say that we want to hear from God in some way or another. I want God to tell me where I should go. I want God to tell me what to do at this crossroad. I want God to reveal his will for me. And all of these are great things that we should be asking for. However, the manner that we ask for them should really be addressed, right? See, we always hear that prayer changes things, and it does. But how many of us really believe that prayer changes things, right? And it's one thing, or it's easy to say amen to that statement, right? Like, yeah, I believe prayer changes things. It's another thing to be up late at night filled with anxiety and stress. Do you believe it in that moment that prayer changes things? See, we can believe that prayer changes things and everything is going good because there's nothing for prayer to change. However, when bad things happen and there is something for prayer to change, do we go to God in prayer and ask him to change those things? And then if we do that, do we take the next step, which is what? Have faith that it will come to pass, meaning rest all your worries on him, right? That's something that we often don't do. See, prayer is important, and I really can't emphasize this enough. Prayer is important, and that's my testimony because you guys know I used to come up here and I would tell you, don't mind my contacts here. They're kind of fighting me. I don't think I had enough moisture on them. I put them in. But I used to come up here and I would tell you, you know, prayer was something that I dealt with for years, right? Just not having the will to pray, right? I would wake up, I would praise, you know, I might get a scripture and if it pops up on my phone and I see it, I'll read it. But prayer was something that just wouldn't come to me naturally. It was something I wouldn't do. In the past month and a half, I've been finding myself praying more and more, right? And I'm not necessarily praying for, you know, God, do this one thing, right? I'm just talking, and that was because I realized that how important prayer is, and that's why I wanted to spread it or share it with you. Can anyone take a guess how many times prayer is mentioned in the Bible? Just take a wild guess. 300? 300 or something? About 5? 1,000? So we were on the nail with the 5. It's mentioned around 500 times. Now, if you ask me, God only really has to say something once for it to be necessary. All right? Just one time, right? If God says something 2 times, you know, it's like an okay, this is like we really have to do this one, right? Like this is it. For prayer to be mentioned 100 times, right? Or hundreds of times, it's like a So like what Sister Courtney would say, I said what I said and I meant what I meant, right? Like this is what I'm talking about. So for God to say it so many times, it means this is something we really should do. And let me give you an example of God saying something multiple times, but we often still just miss it. And I know I said I only have one verse to preach from, or one verse I'm breaking down, but you will be turning your Bibles quite a bit to help break down that one scripture. So please turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 35. And say amen when you have it. I'll wait for you. You see, this one is also just one verse. You see, I'm not bringing out 20. I told you. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. And it says, 35 to 39. Sorry. And it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. So what is important or eye-catching about these verses? Well, Christ tells the parents that their child is not dead, but is merely sleeping. Look at the language he is using now. That's what I'm really trying to bring out here about things that we often miss, even though it's mentioned multiple times, right? A part of reading your Bible is paying attention to the small details, especially when Christ is speaking, right? We know that God is perfect and he doesn't make mistakes. He's also very meticulous about what words he uses when he's speaking. So look at this next example, which is in John chapter 11, verse 11, all right? John chapter 11, verse 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. That is now the second time that Christ has used the word sleep. Not that they're dead, but that they're sleeping. If you look a little lower, right, you will see that Christ eventually changes terminology to Lazarus is dead. Why did he do that? Because the people around him, his own disciples, were failing to realize that he's talking to them, but he's using a different terminology than what they're using. See, death to us is not death to God. We understand death as a completely different thing. And why do we have that understanding? It's a lack of faith. If we had the same faith that God had, we would understand that when you die, well, you really can't. You just rest, right? Scripture says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? Only begotten son, so that what? Say the rest of it. That's the important line. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see how he brings in multiple times to tell us, if you believe in me and have faith in me, you can't experience death as you know it. You'll always have life. Right? So you really can't experience it because what is it? The resurrection comes, right? You are awoken and you go with Christ to where he is. So I really brought that up because that was a revelation for me. If you weren't reading the Bible, you really should, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and bring a revelation to you that you didn't see beforehand, right? You want something to shout about or something to holler about, and if you thought that I was going to do that this Sunday, I'm sorry, but that's not really where I see the sermon going. But if you wanted something to shout about when I'm finished, shout about the fact that death has to pass you over, that you can't die. It just can't touch you because God is within you and you believe in God. So when you leave here, and on Tuesday morning when somebody asks, oh, what did you hear in church that on Sunday? What was the sermon about then? If you don't remember anything, just remember death has to pass me over. That's something that you can take with you no matter where you go. So let me get back to my message because I told you I really, really won't be long here. So when something is mentioned more than once in the Bible, it has to be taken as a divine fact, which means a godly truth, right? Prayer is important to the church, to the body of God, and to the Christians. We're all three of those, right? Here's why prayer is so important, and here's why prayer is a privilege that we should be so very grateful that we have. One of the main things that I love about Christianity, and especially about Christ, is that prayer is a direct line of communication. I don't have to go to anyone to pray. I can simply close my eyes, or I can keep them open. I can be in the middle of a meeting. I can be in the middle of dealing with a student and pray. And no one has to know I'm praying. I'm just sitting in silence. So while turmoil and really hell is being let loose in these situations that I have to go through, I can find peace on the inside and through prayer. And I can sit there and just pray. See, then even when I don't know what to pray, this is why Christianity or Christ is so special. Even when I don't know what to pray, Romans 8, verses 26 tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. That intercession is so important that we often miss that as well, right? Even when you don't know what to say, even when cancer or a disease that has hit your body and the doctor told you you only have so much time, you don't even know what to say, you just want to cry. The fact that the Holy Spirit is there to look at the Father and plead with him and on your behalf. One of the ways I broke this down to a student was, you know, that he loves my car. So I said, hey, I go to my car door, I grab it, you know, it unlocks. It goes beep, beep. It's a beautiful thing. When I'm done with it, I can tap the button on the top. Beep. Beautiful thing, right? But if I take my key out of my pocket and go to my car, now it's mine. I pay for it. It's a lot. I touch that door handle. There's no beep, beep. It's nothing. It just stays silent because it stays locked. It's still mine. It's still me. I'm not nothing different, right? But the thing that interceded for me is not there. So when I take my key back in my pocket and touch that door handle, what does it do? It beep, beeps because the thing that intercedes, the thing that unlocks it, does it, right? And you guys might not get that, and that's okay. But it was enough for him to understand, and that was what my hope was that when you pray, even if you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will unlock for you because he's interceding for you. Okay. So prayer is so deep that, and I gave him another one, like even when your call starts to break up, the Holy Spirit is speaking on your behalf. You know, this kid's 17, so I was really hoping that I wasn't going to date myself and age myself when I said, you'll never have to hold the phone up and say, can you hear me now? Right? He didn't get it, and I was like, man, it's only 7-year difference. I thought you would get that reference. But I was like, you won't do that. You won't have to say, can you hear me? Because he does hear you because the Holy Spirit is there. Right? Even when you can't or you don't know what to say or you don't know if he's answering your prayers or if he hears your prayers, he does. Because the Holy Spirit is personally delivering it to him. Right? That makes me happy because even though I don't know what to say right now, even though, you know, I send so much, and let me just tell you, when you sin, the enemy is so smart. When you sin, he tries to make you feel, or he tells you, you don't want to pray right now. You're so dirty. You just sinned. You just got finished sinning. You don't want to do that right now. But the best thing to do is pray. Just pray. And we're going to talk about all the different types of prayers and why the first thing you should do after you sin is pray, right? So there's really many different types, right? The Holy Spirit is just sitting right next to you as you're praying. He's interceding for you in the heavenly language, right? So there's many different types of prayers. There's the prayer of faith that can be found in James chapter 5, right? The prayer of agreement, which we will practice later. The prayer of petition can be found in Philippians chapter 4. The prayer of thanksgiving, which you guys know I love to talk about, right? And that's a prayer where you just sit there and you just thank God. You don't ask him for anything. You don't cry about anything. You just sit there and you just say, God, I thank you. I'm just here to say thank you. I'm not here to hold the line up. I'm not here to plead for hit the lottery or to win the house. I'm just here to say thank you. Because if you don't do anything else, you've done enough for me. And I just wanted you to know that I'm grateful for that. One of the things my mom always said to me, and now that I tell the kids, is you want to give people their flowers while they're still alive to breathe. Right, allow to smell it, right? So I don't know if you guys ever met, like, you know, athletes, like real athletes. A lot of them just think they have to turn their emotions off. They can't have a soft side. And I tell them that that's not true. In fact, if you don't leave that train of thought now, you're going to run into a lot of problems when you turn around 25 and 30 and you know, life really starts to hit. So I tell them, you should tell one another that you love them if that's how you feel. You should tell them that I do care for you. You're more than a teammate to me. You're like my actual friend, someone that I can confide in and I trust, right? You should tell them that because, and it's a nice gesture when people do it, but carrying their casket doesn't mean anything to them. It was going to get carried either way. So you might as well tell them you love them while they're still here to receive it and give it back to you, right? So the other types of prayers, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of repentance, right, the prayer of deliverance, and the prayer of salvation of the Holy Spirit. See, prayer is a conversation between you and God, right, with the Holy Spirit there to lead you and guide you. What I love about God is that we are able to choose how to pray physically. I love that. I love that. Let me tell you something. There's been times where I woke up at 4 a.m. and I roll over. I feel like, God, look, I get it. I need to pray. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. But getting down on my knees, God, we got to talk about that. We got everything. I got out of bed. We got to talk about that. We can do it, but I can't get out of bed now. We're going to do this right here. And I would start praying. And I would pray and I would feel his peace come. But here's the part I love. It would put me back to sleep. I didn't even finish the prayer yet. It just puts me back to sleep of, and I think that's just him saying, I just wanted you to know I was still here. You know, and then when I wake up, you know, me and God, we have a nice, close-knit relationship. I say, I know you're here. You didn't have to wake me up at 4 a.m. to tell me that. We could have found another way to put that out there. We had to do that right there now. But that was just him saying, I'm here. His peace was there to show me that when something comes up throughout your day, just pray. I'll make myself known once again and calm everything down for you. I'll calm the storm if you believe in me to do so. So let me tell you something. There are different ways to pray, right? Christ often prayed alone in a quiet and reserved location, right? In Matthew chapter 14, he prayed on top of a mountaintop. And when he said to the multitudes, when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. If you don't have a prayer room, you must find one, right? A private room. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your unseen Father. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What I love about it, it doesn't have to necessarily be a room. I don't have a prayer room in my house. My prayer room or my prayer space is actually the passenger seat of my car. See, I park my car outside the house. I live out in the boonies. Nobody's out there. I walk outside my front door. I touch that door. Beep, beep. It's beautiful. I get in. Now, I can't beep it on the inside because then the alarm will go off and everybody going to come out running. So I got to press the lock button and that gives me a secure spot. But that's, I close the door and I lock it and then I pray. And I can pray as loud as I want, as quiet as I want, as softly as I want, as viciously as I want. I can just pray. Sometimes I get in the car and all I can do is just cry. But I can cry in peace because I know even though I'm crying, the Holy Spirit is what? He's interceding for me. So I can't find the words to tell God what's going on. You guys ever deal with someone that's really going through something and you know it's a real something because they can't even talk? It's just so deep. All they can do is cry. And in our field, what we have to do is just sit there with them, right? We can't, it's nothing I can say is going to make this feel any better, right? If a kid comes to me and says my parent or something has just told me they have stage 4 cancer, I can't say nothing's going to make that cancer go away, right? He's going to be crying. They're going to be crying. But I can be there for them. I can sit there with them. I can, you know, pat their back, rub their back, and try and encourage them. But you just need to let them cry. You got to let them get it out. Even when we get in trouble, even when they get in trouble, sometimes you just want to cry, right? And that can be a cry out of fear. That can be a cry out of shame. I'm so ashamed I did this. I wasn't thinking or it just happened. And one of the things I always tell people, or especially, you know, faculty and parents is you got to let them cry. You got to let them cry. You got to let them get it out. Because if you try and discipline in the moment, it's not going to fall on anything because they're still emotional. There's no rational thinking when emotions are high. You got to let them get them tears out. And then once the tears are out, now you can bring forth rational thinking. And you can help build a plan of, okay, so we did X. Here's what we're going to do next. And you want to make sure you use we, right? You want to make sure they know they're not in this alone, right? We're going to do this together, okay? I know you made the mistake. I hope somebody's getting this in the spirit. I know you made the mistake, but we're going to go forward together, right? And if you didn't get it, even though you sinned, the Holy Spirit is there to go with you to the next part. All right. This is what I like, you know. Nobody jumped up and started running. I was going to say, wait a minute. I still got a couple more to go. I got to sit back down for a second. Okay. So, y'all know the story of Christ in the temple flipping tables. One of my favorite stories. Everybody also say, like, God is a pacifist. I hate that word. God is a pacifist. He's not. God is angry. He says that he's a jealous God, right? So in Mark chapter 11, verses 15 and on, he says, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold those doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. See, church, we often take this, what we taste in the scripture is that he doesn't want things being sold or bargained for inside the house of the temple. And that's not a far off assumption. I mean, it literally says, you know, you made it a den of thieves, and whatever. However, and some of you disagree with this, I think the real reason Christ was upset was described later on in the text, right? So if you just read the first part, you think that he's mad because they're selling things, and that's why he's flipping tables. I think if you would have read on and you would have sat there and studied the later part, you would have got it. See, I think that if Christ were to visit the modern church service, he would have flipped some pews. And he would have did it with anger, right? He didn't flip those tables solely because of the business transactions. No, I believe the business transactions were just what was happening at that time in the temple. I believe he flipped those tables because the church was making the temple something it was not, or what it was not supposed to be. Right? See, nowadays, I don't know if you guys ever watch YouTube or church services on YouTube. I kind of watch them in free time when I'm not like video gaming or something. And let me tell you, so many people want to be like Paul the Apostle or John, a great preacher, somebody that they can just say a word and everybody starts dancing. Everybody wants to have that kind of power, right? Everybody wants to have that kind of voice. Everybody wants to have, you watch praise and worship, every praise and worship leader is just hitting run after run and I mean, just all over the place, right? You didn't took the song out of mention. I don't even know the song you're singing anymore because you just run it all over, right? Everybody wants to have the best vocal runs. They want to have the best hat in the congregation. They want the best dance ministry, the best choir. And some churches want the best hooping and hollering. I don't know if you ever watched it. Some services, I mean, the pastors say one word and the whole church is dancing. I mean, everybody is dancing. And I'm like, man, y'all all dancing, y'all? Ain't nobody praying during this? And nobody reading some scripture while y'all doing it? Y'all just dancing. And what you going to do? When the service over, you going to walk back out the same way you came in, but you got your workout in. At that point, the church is nothing but a gym, right? But you see, we failed to see it because Christ called his temple a house of prayer, not a house of hope, not a house of praise, not a house of on fire preaching, not a house of tongues and gifts of the Spirit, but a house of prayer. That's what he called it. See, church, prayer needs to be at the forefront of this tabernacle and every other temple alike. You see, I don't know if you guys were listening or paying attention to what was happening in this room when Sister Barbara was praying, but his Spirit was being known to us in that moment, right? But we didn't have praise and worship this morning, so I can't use that as an example, but as she was praying, his Spirit was being known. People were feeling his peace and his love enter them and surround them as she prayed. See, prayer is really a forgotten thing in the church. There used to be a thing called lock-in overnight prayers. Doesn't happen anymore. There used to be a prayer night, which is all night long, or prayers used to be able to be an hour long. Right now, we give prayer a time limit, right? So you praise and worship, you go up there, do your song, say a scripture, you got 2 minutes to say your prayer. That's it. We got to keep it going. And it's like, well, how can you put a time limit on prayer? If prayer is supposed to really be a direct communication between us and God, there shouldn't be a time limit on it. You should just pray until you're finished praying, and then you finish. You say in Jesus' name, amen. But to put a time limit on it, you don't really give the Holy Spirit room to do whatever he wants to do because you timed God. You can't time the creator of time. He was around before time was even a thing, right? So there should be some Sundays out the year when the service is just, you just, everybody's just praying, just walk in and everybody's praying. Everybody's praying, right? And here's why. The temple was designed to have prayer, right? It was just supposed to be a temple of prayer, okay? Here's why when you walk in, you should just be praying. The Bible says that when two or three are gathered in my name, what did he say? There I shall be, all right? God will be amongst them if two people pray with a sincere heart and humble themselves and attempt to enter his presence, right? Here's what I love. Even if you're by yourself and you're praying, who's that second person for you? The Holy Spirit, right? So even when you're praying by yourself, you still got a second person. The Holy Spirit's there. And therefore, you can do what? Enter the presence of God. All right. If you didn't get that, when you find yourself dealing with something, pray by yourself. Because the Holy Spirit's there interceding, and he'll make sure it goes where it needs to go, and the Holy Spirit will make sure that you can feel God's presence to calm you down. See, Jesus, made the atmosphere for him to dwell in, and he will touch the people walking by on the outside, as these walls are not enough to contain him, right? People think that a strong choir, great preaching, or fancy dancing is going to attract people inside the church. While those things could attract people, right, I don't want to go to a church service and hear people who can't sing. I'm certainly going to be like, okay, well, we can cut this short. Put the fist up. Go to the next part. We ain't got to do this no more. Okay, we can let the music play by itself. But people want to hear music. They want to hear that. They want to hear that liveliness out of the church. So come in and say, wow, they are really singing. And I give props to the Teller Tabernacle Praise and Worship team, even though they're not here, do a great job. They come up here and they do their thing. They sing and they sound good at it, right? But it's also the job of praise and worship is also to lead the temple in the activity. It's not to get up here and show that you can sing and that you can go up four octaves and you know every gospel song known to man. That's not the point of it. It's not. The point is to lead them in praise and worship, right? Which means you got to do what you got to humble yourself and say, don't look at me as I'm singing. Join me as I'm singing. Join me as I'm praising. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about what you're doing. Right? The job of a preacher is to do what? Is to break down the text and educate the masses. Right? Excuse me. So the problem is both of those things, praise and worship and preaching, they have room for man to be glorified. Right? You'll hear a statement, man, that praise and worship team can really sing. I mean, they were just all over the place just glorifying man. Right? You hear statements of, pastor preached a word yesterday. You hear, I mean, he was so on fire. Everybody was there. Everybody was shouting. Everybody. I mean, everything was going on. That's glorifying man. Right? But if you create an environment where everyone just walks in and prays, there's no one to be glorified but God. There's no one to be glorified. What are you going to say? Oh my God. The minister next to me was praying so hard. I don't even know. You don't know what she was praying about. You also know how hard she was praying. Just because you hear, in the name of Jesus, you don't mean they're doing anything. They're just screaming. You're just making noise at that point. That don't mean there's any power going throughout that prayer. You don't know, which is why prayer is such a beautiful thing, right? See, if everybody inside the temple was praying and seeking God all on one accord, there would be no room to glorify man. As the only thing being exalted is Christ. And the Bible says that I will draw all men unto me when I am exalted, right? So the text says, my main text, and I'm really just about finished here. The main text says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. So what do we get from that? Two or three were gathered. Therefore, Christ was there, right? They were all on one accord as they were all praying for the promise of God to come to fulfillment, right? Which was what? I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send down my Holy Spirit who's going to be with you and walk with you and go with you the rest of your days, right? The place was shaken. That was the power of God making himself known, right? So go to the next part of it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Because they were all in one accord, because it was two or three gathered in their name, because God was making himself known, he gave them strength and courage, will, and fulfilled the purpose or the promise that he gave to them. So, what I really wanted to come to talk to you about was just prayer. We talked about how prayer is important, how to pray, why you pray, and what to do in your prayer, right? So I told you I really wasn't going to be long. I'm sitting around 20-ish minutes, and guess what's coming up next? Please stand to your feet. That's what you see? You see? This was beautiful. We are already moving. So please stand to your feet. We discussed that prayer is how to pray, the benefits of prayer, where to pray. Now I'm going to challenge all of you with a little bit of a setup here. I'm going to challenge all of you to join me in prayer. And Sister Barbara will tell us when it's finished. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start the prayer. I'm going to hand the mic off. No, Sister Barbara's not going to pray into the mic. That's not the point of me giving her the mic. The point of this is that we can pray on one accord that God gives us a fresh anointing. And by us, I mean the church. So we're not just praying that the people inside this temple praying with us gets a fresh anointing. We're praying that every believer across the globe gets a fresh anointing. Because I believe that there's someone out there who we don't know who may be going through something. And because we're on one accord, God will make himself known to that person and help calm and bless them. So while you're standing, find a space in the tabernacle where you feel fit to pray. And we're going to pray together. Is that okay? I want you to spend this time praying. I don't want you to look at anything else. I want you to look at anybody. Just spend time talking directly to God. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, just to say thank you, God. We pray to you, God, that you are God of all, God, that you are a perfect God, and that you redeem us and deliver us and save us, God, that we may never forget what you did for us back in Calvary and what you do for us right now, God. God, we just praise and love on you, God. We love you, God, because you loved us first, God, because of what you've done for us, God. God, we love you and adore you, God. We spend time with you, God. Even when we make mistakes, God, forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, and search our hearts and see that we are trying our best, God. We're trying to live right for you, God. Please look at what we're doing, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I believe you'll bless the church, God. I believe you'll bless the temple, God, for going back to prayer, going back to what you wanted this to be, God. I believe that you will be with us, God. You will walk with us and talk with us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I believe that you will, God. For your name is I Am. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are the great God. You are the King of Kings, the God of God, the Lord of Lords. You are the healer. You are the deliverer, God. You are the redeemer, God. You are our salvation, God. You are everything we need you to be, God. You are my all in all. Even when I have nothing, I have everything, God, because you are there, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whoever is out there, God, seeking you, God, I ask that you show yourself to them, God. I ask that you show yourself, make yourself known to them, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whoever is trying to live right for you, God, I ask that you show yourself and show them that you see their effort, God. Tell them that you appreciate it, God. Hallelujah. See our sincereness, God. Hallelujah. Humble us, we humble, God. Humble the ego of the church, God. Make it all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you, Lord. We can come boldly.
Who can do any and everything but fail. A Savior that went to the cross and died for our sins. He was blameless, but he hung on the cross for our sins. God loved us just that much. And we want to introduce you to him this morning. If you're in the house this morning, if you are online with us this morning, we ask you to pray this simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you, a sinner, a wretch undone. I believe that Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross for the remission of my sin. Wash me, O Lord, wash me in the blood of the precious Lamb. I believe he was resurrected for my sin. I thank you for salvation, God. Forgive me, and I repent of my sins this morning. Father, I love you, and I want to know more about you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen. If you prayed that simple prayer, we believe that you have been born again into a blood-washed believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to hear about it and help you along your way on your journey in this new venture in your life. Please join us. You can log on, taylortabernacle.com. And you can send us a quick email and someone from this ministry will contact you so we can help you in the next steps in your walk of salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. 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 Hey, it is offering time in the tabernacle. I'm going to try that one more time. It is offering time in the tabernacle. There you go. That's right. We're going to give to God what he has blessed us with. Amen. We're going to have our sister Kennedy McCoy to come up and lead us in offering. Amen. 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 We all have to learn. Amen. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather through worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle - Tabernacle 6309. Cash App $ Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for the tithe / offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan Ford 25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen, amen. Hey, this morning we're going to go right into our announcement. As always, the pastor and the leadership of the Tabernacle, we thank you this morning for joining us either in person or via live stream this morning. We ask if you decide to join us and you're not feeling well, take your temperature and use caution, and you can always join us via Facebook or YouTube. Amen. Hey, this afternoon at 2:30 p.m., we are on our way to St. Mark Baptist Church. You know, y'all, I'm excited when I come into God's house, and you all do not reflect my excitement. I just need to tell y'all that. And on top of that, I got a pair of hurting shoes on this morning, so I need y'all to lift me up this morning. Amen? Come on, this afternoon we are headed to St. Mark's Baptist Church for their 51st church anniversary. Amen. At 2:30 p.m. Hey, St. Mark's address is 1238 South 23rd Street. That is where our own Reverend Darrell Scott and First Lady Scott are the pastor. Amen. They are celebrating. They have invited us this afternoon to join them at 1230 for lunch prior to the afternoon service. On next Sunday, June 18th, it's Father's Day in the Tabernacle. Amen. We're going to join and honor our fathers on next Sunday. On June 25th, First Lady is asking all children to join her in the garden immediately following service as we kick off our summer gardening classes with Mr. Joe Harrison, who is author of the book Little Joey Starts a Farm. First Lady is asking each child to bring an instrument with him or her when they come, and we'll see why when we go out into the garden. We are also going to fire up the grill for that Sunday, so come on out and join us. We always love a good barbecue here at the Tabernacle. Amen? And we're going to ask everyone join us on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our prayer and Bible study. I don't know if the link is up there, but we do have a link. If you'll see myself or via our website, someone will send you a link for our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. And always, don't forget, Sunday school, 8:30 each Sunday morning, except the first Sunday, 8:30 to 9 a.m. Via Google Meets. That's second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Your children will be excited, and they really will love it. Amen. Amen. Pastor, do you have anything for us before we... Brother Khalil, we need the benediction. Amen. 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 What a wonderful word this morning. Prayer. Amen. It is important, church. Amen. 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 We bless the Lord this morning. If you'll stand to your feet, if all hearts and minds are clear, the benediction.
Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Let's say one final prayer before we leave here. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, once again, God. God, we pray that you give us safe travels wherever we are going, God. We pray that you make this day all about you, God, and every day all about you, God. We pray that you continue to be with us and strengthen us and embolden us, God. We pray that you appreciate the prayer of agreement that we gave today, God, the prayer of agreement that we sent forth to you, God. We ask that you keep us, God, keep us, even when we go astray, God, keep us, God. Hallelujah, for only you are the way, truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but through you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.